My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, here we go again. Dimpled, pimpled, hanging, swinging, you know, chads and all the nonsense, all the corruption, all that. You know, this is now a national disgrace that nobody has stepped in yet and put an injunction on all of the laws that have been violated down in the state of Florida. Now, Florida has 67 counties. There's only two counties that are involved in these shenanigans. Two counties that obviously think that they are above the law. Two counties that 4 days later are finding votes here and votes there. Oh, 78,000 here, 15,000 there. They're supposed to update their, by law, their vote count every 45 minutes. Maybe you get the 3 a.m. whoopsie daisy, let's dump another 20,000, and they're only going to be for Senator Bill Nelson. Now, this is wrong on every level. Even the panhandle of Florida, the most wonderful people you'd ever want to meet. I was there not that long ago. And these people in the panhandle got whacked hard, homes, lives destroyed, their lives upended, their homes demolished in many, many cases. The damage severe from the hurricane that hit there 27 days ago. But yet they got out, they voted in massive numbers, and their votes now are, and they were able to report on time, according to the law. You know, let me just go through what is actually happening here, because the more you know about this, the more you hear about this, it's going to make your blood boil, and it needs to make your blood boil, because there are laws in play here. Not the least of which is the Florida law that requires a vote by mail, absentee ballots. Now, they ended on Sunday. They are to be counted within 30 minutes of the polls closing. It's Friday. They're still counting them. And they won't give anybody any number that they have in terms of how many outstanding ballots they are. And how is it that, of all the votes we found, it just all happened to be for the Democrat? So when you go back and you just look at this, and Rick Scott's going to join us today. Marco Rubio is going to join us today. And you just look at the numbers. At the end of election night, late Tuesday, Rick Scott was declared the winner. He won by Florida standards, it's actually a pretty big margin, 57,000 votes. Rick Scott runs notoriously close elections, but he always wins. 57,000 is a strong, healthy number. Now, since then, by Wednesday morning, the lead dropped to, by 8,000 votes. Give you the exact number here. By Wednesday morning, the day after Election Day, he led by 38,000 votes. By Wednesday evening, he led by 30,000 votes. Then by Thursday morning, it was 21,000 votes. Now it's 15,000 votes. On election night, as they are supposed to do by law, Broward County gave it a vote count. 634,000 votes. By 1 o'clock yesterday, it became 695,700 votes that they say were cast on Election Day. How, why are we finding out Thursday and every other county gave an accurate number that day? 67 counties. Then at 2:30 yesterday, they ratcheted up to 707, 223 ballots cast on Election Day. And we just learned that the numbers increased to 712, 840,000, 40 ballots on Election Day. Palm Beach, same garbage, same people. 15,000 new votes they found since election night. So in the course of 48 hours, now 72 hours since the polls closed Broward, Palm Beach counties, they're still finding ballots. They're still counting ballots. And they should have had an answer right then, 30 minutes after the election, after the polls closed. And then you get into who the supervisors are and their history of not obeying the law and playing games and that are real. What do they think they're that they get to choose? That what kind of, you know, it's actually amazing that America, that we send election observers to other countries. How about we send them to Broward County that can't count straight? Now, we know what's going on here. We know what the history of all of this is. And we know nobody will have confidence in any of this at this point. They won't even tell us at this hour. At this hour, how many votes they have outstanding. How many more they're going to dump on the people of Florida when they should have told the people of Florida 30 days later. I'm not talking about military votes that might be stragglers that are coming in here that deserve to be counted. That's not what I'm talking about. The people of Florida deserve better than two of their 67 counties playing fast and loose with the election for these two important positions, senator and governor. You know, now the person involved, you know, last year, her name is Brenda Snipes. She has a great history. You know, a judge last year ruled that the office violated both state and federal laws by illegally destroying the ballots in 2016. In other words, she posted the election results. You know, she's supposed to post them a half hour before the polls closed. So she doesn't do it. That's a clear violation of law. She did it then. The same year, an officer was sued for leaving amendments off the ballots. Another problem. 2014, Brenda Snipes, fellow Democrats accused her of individual systemic breakdowns that made it difficult for voters to cast their ballots. Now, I don't care where you live in Florida. You know, everybody needs to understand what's going on in Broward and Palm Beach County. Refusing to abide by the laws of, well, why don't we just let the panhandle hold out their votes until Broward puts it in? It is a clear violation of federal and Florida election laws. That has now caused the governor, soon to be Senate-elect, Rick Scott, to go file a lawsuit with both Broward and Palm Beach counties. Why? Because they failed to follow the law, which requires a vote by mail or an absentee ballot that they should be counted. And by the way, that all stopped on Sunday. There's no excuse that they didn't have the number 30 minutes after the polls close. They could have checked it and checked it and checked it and rechecked it and checked it again and again and again if they wanted. And Palm Beach County has failed to update, you know, in the 45-minute intervals that they are supposed to by law do. In other words, they're required by law to update reports every 45 minutes. They do it maybe once or twice a day, whenever I guess it's convenient to them. And they'd even do it overnight when nobody's looking, until the results are completely reported. This isn't just incompetence. You know, these are real violations of law, real irregularities in vote tabulations, and it's gone on for years. And now, in come Hillary's lawyer. Remember this guy, Mark Elias? This is now where it gets very interesting. Mark Elias, you're going to remember this name. Just like you remember the name of Brenda Snipes. Well, Mark Elias is the guy that was involved in the Perkins Coie effort for Hillary Clinton. In other words, the chief counsel for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Remember when Hillary's campaign funneled money to the law firm Perkins Coie? And then that money was used to hire Fusion GPS. And then they hired this guy, Christopher Steele, and that put together the phony Trump dossier. Yeah, he's the guy heading up the Democratic efforts to steal Florida's Senate election. And he actually said, oh, I'm not here to count the vote. I'm here to win. I'm here to win. Now, he recruited Fusion GPS in 2016. He's the mastermind behind it to dig up the dirt on then-candidate Trump. And yesterday claiming that traditionally liberal pockets in Florida experienced a significant undercount for Ben Nelson's total. Oh, so I guess we'll just now make him up as we go along. If he cares about the law, why hasn't he demanded that they follow the law, report the exact number of votes that they had, and why they didn't do it in a timely fashion like every other county in Florida was able to do? Scott Campaign, Marco Rubio, both of who are going to be joining us, are saying straight up that they're trying to steal this election. They've been saying it now for 2 days. For Bill Nelson, the task is getting the win, no matter what. A statement from Mr. Scott's Camp Red, meaning Rick Scott. Let's be clear. When Elias says win, he means steal. That's not language you'd usually get from Rick Scott. And Rick Scott has every right. Well, you know what the bottom line is? They've so now violated so many laws, it is impossible. It is virtually impossible to get an accurate, true read of what vote happened in Broward and Palm Beach County. It's impossible. Because they refuse to follow the rules. They refuse to follow Florida state law, federal laws about elections. And they've not only done it this time, they've done it in the past. And they're making all sorts of excuses because at the end of the day, all they care about is the win. That's it. Donald Trump says law enforcement is now investigating this election fraud in Florida. You know, there's going to be recounts that take place in this particular election. I'm going to give you a lot more details on who some of these players are. We have some of the details of the lawsuit that was followed by Governor Scott. And now it looks like even the governor's race is going to come into play in terms of a recount there. There are two different versions of a recount, depending on where the vote totals are. One would be just a machine recount. The other would be a machine and hand recount, which is looks like that's going to happen for the Senate race. And the governor's race now is going to be done manually by the machines. But we don't even know what that would be because we don't have any vote. We don't have a final number. Not talking about military ballots that might come in late, but were postmarked by Election Day. We're not talking about those. So the president now is out there saying, you know, he may send in some. The fact that they have not put an injunction on Broward County and those people that have broken the law here have not been stopped is even more spectacular to me. Because any judge, the law can't be any more clear. Every other county got it right, except these two counties. It's unbelievable. Like everything else, where's equal justice under the law? Equal application of our laws. There's an emergency hearing over this race going on right now in Broward County. And, you know, if you're going to follow the law, it is clear that they have purposefully violated the federal law and Florida state law. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, we'll check in with Marco Rubio and with Governor Rick Scott as this disaster is unfolding before our eyes. It's almost so bad you can't even make it up. The president now said this morning he is considering sending in federal agents in Florida to block the Democratic attempts to steal the state's elections from the senator and governor. These are very specific laws. Let me be very clear here. 30 minutes after the polls closed by Florida law, each of the 67 counties are all individually required to turn over and give a number, a vote by mail or absentee ballots that were counted. That's within 30 minutes. By law, Broward and Palm Beach should have been updating their websites every 45 minutes. These are specific laws that are being ignored. Nobody has yet put down an injunction. Now, I know there's a hearing that was going on just before. Then you look at the players, Brenda Snipes. Yeah, she is the same Brenda Snipes involved in all of the other shenanigans that have gone on in the same county for a long time now. You know, you got to hand it to the Democrats. When it comes to them taking whatever number of votes they need, they always seem to have all the right people in all the right places. You know, here we have Brenda Snipes in charge of the vote counting in the area, is yet to disclose how many ballots that are still not counted despite the election for governor and the Senate happening 2 days ago. The same woman had a judge in May rule that Snipes violated state federal laws after she destroyed voter ballots in the state's 2016 congressional election. That was a recount involving Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She won by less than 7,000. In that case, when her opponent went to review the paper ballots, they were destroyed. The only problem is federal state law mandates the ballots not be destroyed until 22 months after the election. Now we have a teacher just happened to find a box of missing ballots in an old cafeteria in some Florida school. Now the president is getting involved. I assume Pam Bondi is getting involved, I assume. But it's still happening. And observers that are supposed to be watching this, no, they're not allowed in. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. We'll check in with Governor Scott at the top of the next hour. Marco Rubio joins us in the next hour as well. Got a lot of ground to cover here. You know, Marco Rubio just tweeted out, not very comforting to Florida voters that the Broward County supervisor, he's talking about Snipes here, with all of these past violations, how this person is allowed to stay in this position, having been found to violate Florida and federal election laws in the past, clearly not abiding by the law. Right now, as we speak, no injunction is yet to be issued. It is a travesty in justice. And then nobody's paying attention. Everyone's paying attention to Florida. Then out in Arizona, all of a sudden, Kristen Sinema, the radical leftist, went up by 2,100 votes last night. Martha McSally's team is saying that with the next batch release, she expects she will be back in the lead. Well, how do we know? How is it every other state can count ballots except these two? How come every county in Florida can count ballots except for these two? And he goes on, how can anyone have any confidence that the election supervisor in Broward County, this is Snipes again, written by Marco Rubio, will be fair when last night she made clear her personal animus towards Governor Scott and towards the state's top law enforcement agency when she claimed that he owns the Florida Department of Law Enforcement? What does that mean? Every other county is following, obeying the laws of Florida. Every other one. Except for this one, every single election. Apparently, she gets elected to this position. Why? Because the left-wingers, they're hoping she, I guess, does exactly what she's doing now. It's unbelievable. This is serious. It's just unreal to me. Now, we have some other stories that we've got to get to. I want to get to this. We showed this last night. We're going to show it again tonight. I've not spent a lot of time over the years, now 30 years in radio, my 23rd year at Fox. I have not spent a lot of time talking about what life is and can be like in the private eye, in the public eye, wanting to be a private person as much as you can. I picked the wrong job for that if I was looking for that. And I tell people all the time that sadly it goes with the territory. If you're a public figure, you're going to get public scrutiny, and it's not fair, it's not right, it's not just. It happens all the time, but to expect otherwise is just naive, and you're just going to frustrate yourself because that's never going to be the way it is. But I'm watching last night, and this video of Tucker. I had been in touch with him earlier in the day, talked to him since, and we have watched, and I always tell you what happens every election year. You're racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. Republicans want dirty air and water, even though they drink the water and breathe the air. And they want to kill children with dirty air and water. And that's their plan. And they want to throw granny over the cliff. Well, it got worse this year. And it's not just the Democratic Party, by their extension, the left-wing media in this country. They are so shameless. I mean, I've actually had conversations with these people. They say that they're really journalists. They really believe it, and they're not. I'm honest who I am. I am a talk show host, radio and TV. I play many roles as a talk show host. Sometimes we just report the news, whatever the news. There's a fire. There's a hurricane. A natural disaster. You know, when we were at war, I just report, straight reporting, no bias, no opinion, ask questions pertinent to viewers and listeners. Other times we do investigative work that the media won't dare do or touch. The vetting of Obama is one instance, or the deep state and all that we discovered with the bought and paid for phony dossier, the exoneration before investigation, the fraud committed on FISA courts, you know, the misuse of the powerful tools of intelligence, spying on Americans, and not only surveilling them, but then unmasking them and literally releasing that information, even raw intelligence. It's illegal. We've exposed a lot of people in this process. Page, Strzok, Comey, McCabe, you know, Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, all the, you know, I mean, it's awful what has happened. The rest of the media has been focused on a lie, Trump-Russia collusion. There's no evidence, never was any evidence of it. And this year it just got so over the top. How many Nazi comparisons have we gotten on top of the usual racism, sexism, and worse? Then, of course, we have, Kristen Nielsen run out of a restaurant, Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. A bunch of mobs show up screaming while she's trying to eat dinner. She has to leave. Happening to Sarah Sanders. She's not even allowed in a restaurant. Then her and her family and kids, they go to another restaurant. They're not allowed in there either. And then it happens to Pam Bondi at a movie theater. And then it happens to Ted Cruz and his wife. Then it happens to Mitch McConnell multiple times when Mitch McConnell's walking through an airport. Then it happens, you know, a couple of weekends ago, bam, guy bangs on his table at the restaurant, takes his food and throws it out the door when he's sitting there with his wife. And start screaming at the top of his lungs. You know, you got to wonder at what point some of this is going to end. Kevin McCarthy gets a boulder thrown through his window. Now, in the lead up to the election, we kept talking about the mobs because that's what they are. And CNN was outraged that we called them mobs.
When you see people like Ted Cruz getting chased out of restaurants by a mob.
You're not going to use the mob word here.
It's totally a mob. It is without a doubt. There's no other word for it.
Stop.
That is mob behavior.
How many times has that happened?
Everybody stop. Matt, we already did that. Already said they weren't mobs. No, it's not mob behavior.
It's
people who are upset and they're angry with the way the country is going and the policies that these people... Will you let me finish, Matt, please, before you jump in? Okay?
By the way, we just got this in from Arizona. The signatures of the votes they're counting apparently don't match the signatures on record. Now, the president sent out a tweet. Is it time to call for a new election, a special election to protect the democratic process here? Anyway, so we've seen all of this happen as Secretary Nielsen and Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi and Pam Bondi and Elaine Chao and Mitch McConnell and so many others. Kevin McCarthy. Don't forget, we had those two Republican politicians running in Minnesota punched. One was a woman. Another got a concussion. Put him out of commission for 6 weeks, got cold cocked from behind in a restaurant. He said at the time, I didn't sign up for that. Well, I don't think anybody signs up for that. And it's just sad. And, you know, I've watched this happen in the course of my life without many details. It's been one after another, to be very blunt with you, over the years, depending on how intense the political debate is at any one given time. I'm not somebody that whines. I just... I keep it to myself. I take care of business. That's it. And, you know, the worst was when our friend, girl who worked for us, wonderful, wonderful woman, who we're all still friends with, Elise, who's gone on to do great things, still great friends with, I think she likes Linda better than me. What do you think?
I think she always liked me better than you.
Well, we had what we thought was a potential anthrax scare, and she had to spend hours and hours and hours in isolation. Don Jr.'s had that happen. Recently, nobody in the press really talked about the ricin scares to President Trump and Secretary of, or the head of the FBI, the director Ray, or the CIA director Gina Haspel, or Defense Secretary General Mattis. That happened to them. It happened to Don Jr. His wife had to go to the hospital. That was another scare that happened. None of this was talked about. And then all of a sudden, the pipe bomb issue evolved. And because it was going to prominent Democrats, all of a sudden now the press, it's Trump's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's a person who did it fault. I didn't say that the Bernie supporter that shot Steve Scalise and shot Republicans in a field, that Bernie Sanders is in any way responsible for what this nut supporter of his does. He's not. It's irresponsible. If you listen to CNN, they're so outraged that they're being called out saying fake news isn't a threat. Or saying they suck isn't a threat. It's how people feel. If anyone wants to lay a hand on anybody, I will defend them myself if I'm there. We saw now Brian Kilmeade was stalked. He'll join us later in the program. And these guys followed him for like 45 minutes, sticking a camera in his face. He goes down into the New York City subway system. When he's down there, they announce on the subway, you know, when he's in the subway, they say, oh, this is Brian Kilmeade. He's friends with the president. Say what you want to say to him. It's like creating a mob. It's everything that Maxine Waters asked for. If you see these cabinet members.
You have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
They're not welcome anymore, anywhere. You see these people, you create a crowd. And you follow them into department stores and restaurants and gas stations, and you tell them they're not wanted anywhere anymore. Well, I have advice for conservatives. If you see any liberal that you don't like anywhere, commentator, leave them alone. How about that? Or if you're going to have a discussion, be nice, be polite. You don't want to threaten people and their families and their time out alone. It's despicable. Can't have political differences. Now marching orders are given by Maxine Waters or Cory Booker, Spartacus, telling them to get in people's faces. Or you have the, you know, Hillary Clinton's. You can't be civil with them. Look what happened to Tucker Carlson's house last night. Angry group of far left extremists surrounding his house. His poor wife is home alone. His kids, thank God, weren't there. She had to barricade herself inside the house, call the police. The mob cracked his front door, throwing themselves against it, appearing, I guess they wanted to break in, vandalizing his driveway and his car with spray paint, shouting threatening messages over a bullhorn. Listen to this.
Tucker Carlson, we are outside your home to protest a protest of fascism and racism. You put your feet. That's led to an ideology that has led to thousands of people dying by the hands of the police, to trans women being murdered in the streets.
Your
policies
from our gate,
and we won't even know where you sleep at night.
Mail bomb.
Mail bomb.
We know where you sleep at night. Tucker Carlson, we know where you sleep. We know where you sleep at night.
We will fight. We know where you sleep at night. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. And his wife is in the house. This is an angry left-wing mob. Marching orders almost directly from Maxine Waters, almost verbatim. Create a crowd, follow them. Not wanted anywhere anymore. They said, you know, then you have another far left group. It's a new term. Maybe some of you have never heard it, called doxing. That's taking personal information of public figures. It happened this week to me and Tucker. Happened to Ann Coulter. Happened to another guy that works at the Daily Caller. In other words, they publish your home address online for everyone to see. What is their hope? Threats, violence, intimidation. I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody. I'm going to stand here and fight. Sorry. Lay a hand on me. I'll never lay a hand on anybody. You lay one on me, I will defend myself. But this mentality has got to stop. And I urge conservatives, don't do what they do. Don't be like they are. Then you've got over it, fake news MSNBC. This is a break. Listen to this of Rachel Maddow. She's saying it's a break the glass moment. She's given out instructions to create these mobs to let them, because we knew this moment was going to come. Jeff Sessions is gone. Well, the president said yesterday, you know, she's promoting actively moveon.org. The same, she's working with moveon.org, promoting their events. This is a break the glass in case of emergency plan to protect the Mueller investigation. We knew this was going to happen. Promoting moveon.org. Now, they're the same MoveOn that came out with the ad about General Petraeus, General Betray Us. Really? They partnered with Michael Moore in a campaign ad that MoveOn released. Political campaign ad during the 2012 election featuring an elderly woman vowing to, well, let's just say a man's private part punch to Mitt Romney and burn this mother effer down. One of their ads compared Bush to Hitler. And now NBC News is talking about this being the break the glass in case of emergency plan moment and giving the time and locations of the protests, some of which took place yesterday. Now, and they, by the way, Rachel Maddow says she's a journalist organizing, promoting radical leftist protesters. What if someone gets hurt at one of these break the glass moments, Rachel? We got to be very worried. All of this has happened. They didn't get the results they wanted. They're angry. They're very angry. And they can't handle losing. This is what we've had now for 2 years. This is what we are going to follow every day with Maxine, Gerald Nadler, Liar Shift, and the rest of them.
There's a lot of crooked stuff going on, but it is interesting. It always seems to go the way of the Democrats. Now in Arizona, all of a sudden, out of the wilderness, they find a lot of votes, and she's the other candidate is just winning by a hair. What's going on in Florida is a disgrace. Go down and see what happened over the last period of time, 10 years. Take a look at Broward County. Take a look at the total dishonesty of what happened with respect to Broward County. Broward County, just press, Broward County slash election. There's a lot of dishonesty.
All right, that was the president earlier today weighing in on what is so obviously corrupt and a lot of shenanigans. Every other county in Florida, they're able to report on time, on schedule. And this is where we have now gone. Even the panhandle, even Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach, all these areas that got slammed and hit so hard 27 days prior to the election, they were able to follow Florida law and get everything in on time. Marco Rubio, who will join us at the bottom of this half hour, tweeting out, well, apparently Broward County elections left behind a box labeled provisional ballots at a local elementary school that served as a polling place. Just let that sink in for a moment. And Mark Caputo in Broward County, Miramar Elementary School teacher, comes across a box labeled provisional ballots left behind at the school from Election Day. She's concerned it might have been votes. She didn't look in the box. She didn't want to tamper with it. Now, this is where we were on election night, late Tuesday, where Rick Scott won by 57,000 votes. By Wednesday morning, it's 38,000. By Wednesday evening, it's 30,000. And yesterday, it's 21,000, now 15,000. On election night, Broward said there was 634 votes cast. They're supposed to, by law, give that number 30 minutes after the polls close in Florida. Every other county but Broward and Palm Beach gave the accurate number. As of, you know, yesterday it was 695,700 ballots. And then it became 707,223 ballots. Then that went up to 712,840 ballots. In Palm Beach, they just magically found another 15,000 votes since election night. I mean, this all happens in a 48-hour period. And the person that I described in the last hour involved in this, again, up to her eyeballs in this. We joined the senator-elect, the governor of the great state of Florida, Rick Scott, who filed the lawsuits yesterday. Governor, Senator, I'm sorry this has happened to you and is happening to you. Where are we now at this hour?
Well, we're sitting up 15,000 votes. But this is just, as we know, the Democrats are trying to steal elections before Election Day. Now they're doing it afterwards. There's no transparency. They somehow came up with 15,000 new votes in Palm Beach, 78,000 more votes in Broward. Where did they come from? No one can tell us anything. There's no transparency. I've asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to do an investigation. Now they've brought Nelson has brought down this lawyer from D.C. and he's gone to court to try to do voter fraud. I mean, he came down here and said,
"This is Mark Elias
to win the election." Yeah,
this is Mark Elias. His public comment. Yeah. I didn't come down here for a recount. I came down here to win the election. Well, the election had already taken place. So by his own words, he's admitting he wants to steal it.
Yeah. My opponent, Bill Nelson, he doesn't care how you voted. He just wants to win the election. He's been in office for 42 years. All he wants to do is win the election. They want to overturn this election. We won. I won it by 57,000 votes, and they're going to do everything they can. But I am not giving up. I was properly elected as a new U.S. senator from Florida. By the way, I want to thank Marco Rubio for getting out there and explaining the incompetence, this unbelievable risk of fraud here. And so we're going to find out what happened, but I'm going to fight.
Are they saying that there are any more votes out at all?
I mean, Sean, they won't tell us anything. There's no transparency.
What do you mean they won't tell you? Florida law mandates they tell you.
But they're not doing that. That's how we had to go to court. I mean, we had to file a lawsuit yesterday to try to start getting information. And that's why I had to ask for Florida Department of Law Enforcement to come in, because they won't tell us anything. Palm Beach, by law, is supposed to allow party officials to observe when they have to rewrite, when they take the fax ballots from the military and put them on a regular ballot to be able to cast. They made them get behind glass where they couldn't hear what people are saying. And this is, I mean, it sure looks, I mean, it looks. I mean, there's no question. These guys are trying to steal the election. You can't believe anything other than they're going to do everything they can to steal a U.S. Senate.
How is it possible nobody has stepped in and said enough? In other words, now we have a history, especially in Broward County, and we know the Board of Election Supervisor, Brenda Snipes, who's in charge of, quote, counting the vote, and has yet to disclose how many ballots are still not counted. Well, every other county in Florida did it that day. The only thing they're counting now are military votes or the other things. Every other county gave an exact number. Isn't it Florida law that within 30 minutes of the polls closing that they're supposed to give an accurate reading number of the absentee early voting numbers?
Absolutely. She's just violating the law. That's why I brought down the same lawyers that won Bush versus Gore, Gibson Dunn, to help make sure that we preserve this win. We won this election fair and square. The Democrats, Bill Nelson, and Hillary Clinton's lawyer, they're trying to steal the election. So we are going to win this, and we're going to fight it. The will of the people.
Here's what I don't understand.
Going to be upheld.
Governor, the Broward County Board of Election Supervisors, a woman by the name of Brenda Snipes, she's in charge of the vote counting. She's the one that's now violated numerous laws in this particular election. She won't disclose how many ballots are still not to be counted. In May, a judge ruled that Snipes had violated state and federal law after she destroyed voter ballots in the 2016 congressional election. That was the race run by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, since she won by less than 7,000 votes against a Democratic primary challenger. The next year, when Tim Canova, who was running against her, asked to review the paper ballots in the race, it was revealed Snipes destroyed the ballots only 12 months after the primary. Federal state law mandates ballots not to be destroyed until 22 months after. That case exposed Snipes. His staff had opened ballots in private in 2016 on Election Day. And just last year, Snipes' office was taken to court by the American Civil Rights Union, represented by the Public Interest Legal Foundation, after being accused of keeping felons, non-citizens, dead voters on the voter rolls in Broward County, and at one point having more voters on the rolls than actual voters in the county. How is this woman still in charge with that track record? How is this possible? Why can't the Attorney General, the FBI, or somebody go in there and literally take, lock this down? Because who knows what's going on in these rooms, and they're not even allowing the observers into the room as they should by law also.
Well, they're separately elected in our state. In the Florida, what we're doing is I've asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to go in and investigate. We filed lawsuits to get the judges to force her to both her and the supervisor, Booker, up in Palm Beach to do their job and quit violating the law. And so I'm going to just, Sean, I'm going to fight every day. I got properly elected. I will be the next U.S. Senator from Florida. But we all of us that believe, whether you're Republican or Democrat, the right to vote is a sacred right. And we have to listen to the will of the people. Right. And what Bill Nelson's doing is he's using liberal lawyers from D.C. to try to steal an election. That's what Bill Nelson has decided to do. He has personally decided that he wants to keep his seat. He doesn't care if whatever fraud he has to commit, he will do it.
By the way, in 2004, as Election Day approached, Snipes blamed the U.S. Postal Service for losing 58,000 absentee ballots and then later announced only 6,000 ballots had disappeared. Then her office dropped 2,400 absentee ballots off at the post office on a Saturday before the election after mail carriers were already gone for the day. This woman, I can't even why this is allowed to happen with this background and this history is beyond any understanding. I understand a school teacher discovered a box of missing ballots in an old cafeteria.
Yep.
How did that happen?
You can't make this stuff up. It's like there's something happening every day. But Sean, here's where we are. They won't tell us how many more ballots there are to cast. They would give us no information. That's why we filed the lawsuits we did, and we've asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate. We are going to find out what happened here, and we're going to fight to make sure that the will of the people we follow the will of the people of this state.
So the guy that worked for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign is Mark Elias. He's the guy that funneled the Clinton money, the DNC money. Remember through the law firm,
right.
Perkins
yep.
Coie.
Yep.
Perkins Coie then hired the op research firm Fusion GPS. And, of course, that was to dig up dirt on candidate Trump. And he claimed yesterday that traditionally liberal pockets in Florida experienced a significant undercount. He offered no explanation. But so you have the guy that literally was involved in funneling money, I would argue, illegally through Perkins Coie, because it wasn't a legal expense. It was an expenditure to get op research. And then that ended up with the phony Russian dossier, which was disseminated before the people of the country before the election. That also was used to commit a fraud on a FISA court 4 separate times because none of it was verified. They never told the court that Hillary had paid for these things. So he's their lead guy down there. He's their number one guy.
That's right.
So where do we go from here in terms of recounts then?
So if we're down below about 21,000, there'll be a hand recount. And anything less than, I think it's around 42,000 or 3,000, there'll be a machine. So we have to say, I think now Ron DeSantis is in the machine. I think his numbers are now in the machine recount. And I'm in the manual recount because I'm under 21,000. So we're fighting lawsuits. They filed a lawsuit today to try to to allow ballots to come in that were not legally cast. I mean, this is just steal the election, steal the election, steal the election. That's all this is. They'll do anything to steal this election.
What I don't understand is why law enforcement, considering we know all these laws are broken, why hasn't law enforcement gone in there and shut this operation down? Just stop it.
Well, I've asked them to go in and do it. So hopefully they're going
to. You can't get an injunction of any kind that would allow that to happen?
Well, we've gone through, you know, I've got the best lawyers in the country to work on this. And we've gone through, you know, everything we can do. We've made our loss. I'm looking at every. I mean, Sean, I'm looking at every legal option there is. We're fighting their lawsuit. We filed our own to try to get them to comply with the law. We've asked the FDLE.
But even as of this late hour on a Friday, the corrupt people that have violated numerous laws all week long are still in control of the ballots.
Absolutely. It's 3 days since the election. I've gone from 57,000 vote lead to a 15,000 vote lead.
I mean, it's inexplicable, Governor. I can't believe this is what is happening in our country. We wish you all the best in this. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I thought if we have laws that they ought to be respected and we ought to be applying them equally, equal justice under the law, equal application of our laws. And the people of Florida made their decision. And the shenanigans that they're pulling and what they have done in the past shows a history of doing this. And it seems like I don't understand why law enforcement has not stepped in, walked in and said, you people are out. You violated the law. And just secure the operation. Let somebody that is fair go in there and see what the heck has gone on here. You just don't find 130,000 ballots. In the course of 3 days, oops, I found another 100,000. Look at this. Oops, I found another 15,000.
Right. Whatever it takes, they keep finding them. So at least they're not telling us anything. There's no transparency. So you have to assume the worst.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Another minute for Governor Rick Scott and what you might be able to do to help him. Then at the bottom of the hour, Senator Marco Rubio, who has been out front on this issue from the get-go, he saw what was happening first. We'll talk to him. We got a lot more coming up. It's the Friday edition Sean Hannity Show. Tonight we'll have full coverage of this and more, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. All right, as we continue with Governor, Senator-elect Rick Scott, with the situation unfolding down in Texas with Clinton lawyer Mark Elias. Yeah, the Mark Elias, the guy that worked on funneling the money to Perkins Coie Elias, that guy. What can people do at this point, the people of Florida, that went out to the polls, I think over 8 million people voted in Florida, to make sure that their voice, their vote is not stolen?
Sean, the biggest thing you can do right now is tell everybody what your expectations are. I know I saw a little bit while ago that there are a bunch of people protesting outside the supervisor elections office because they do not want their vote stolen. They don't want to lose their vote. It was the sacred vote. People died for it. And so I know a lot of people out there, they're furious what's going on. And so you've got to let everybody know that we cannot continue to let this happen in our country. We cannot have people going out and adding, you know, 78,000 more votes in one county and 15,000 votes in another county, not complying with the law, not allowing people to look when you're filling out ballots from the military, things like that. You know, we've got it. You know, so everybody's, you know, got to let people know that you can't keep this going, cannot allow this to continue.
Right. Governor, thank you. We'll be following it closely. We'll be covering it tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, and we'll give the background of this woman that is in charge, Brenda Snipes, and her background is, and all the laws that have been broken to this point and how all of this by law can't happen. And they're the only two counties that do it, and they do it again and again. Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, weighs in on this coming up next as we continue the Sean Hannity Show.
We just learned that the number has increased to 712,840 ballots cast on Election Day. In Palm Beach County, there are 15,000 new votes found since election night. So it has been over 48 hours since the polls closed, and Broward and Palm Beach counties are still finding and counting ballots. And the supervisors, Brenda Snipes and Susan Booker, cannot seem to say how many ballots still exist and where these ballots came from or where they have been. The people of Florida deserve fairness and transparency, and the supervisors are failing to give it to us. Every Floridian should be concerned there may be rampant fraud happening in Palm Beach and Broward counties. We have just filed a lawsuit. Both Broward and Palm Beach counties have failed in their duty to follow Florida law, which requires that vote by mail and absentee ballots are counted within 30 minutes of polls closing. Further, Palm Beach County has failed to update the department states since 10:19 a.m. yesterday. This is in complete violation of Florida law, which requires updated reports every 45 minutes until results are completely reported. We've all seen the incompetence and irregularities in vote tabulations in Broward and Palm Beach for years. But here we go again. I will not sit idly by while unethical liberals try to steal this election from the great people of Florida.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. Our toll-free telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, the person that first drew my attention to what was actually going on in Broward and Palm Beach counties is Senator from Florida, the great Senator Marco Rubio, who is back with us. Senator, first of all, thank you for catching this before anybody else and warning us. And you sent out a tweet. You said it looks to you like they're trying to steal this election. I have never in my life seen an example, such an egregious example, where laws are just flagrantly broken, not adhered to, not listened to, with no consequences, with a history of doing this. And on top of it, they just keep coming out with all the votes they need to the point where we're at a 56 or 7,000 vote lead now whittled down to, where is it now, 15,000?
Yeah, 15,000. And to be clear, the stealing of the election means these lawyers that you hire, when you hire an election lawyer to go into a state, election lawyers don't come to Florida on behalf of either party, for that matter, to argue that all the votes be counted. What an election lawyer does is says, count all of our votes, but they try to disqualify as many as the other side. So they're there to win. And in fairness, the Nelson lawyer, the Democrat lawyer, Elias, has made very clear that that's his goal. But the governor in the clip you just played laid out exactly why this is a problem. Okay, early voting in Broward County ended on Sunday. By law, the way every other county did, you're supposed to, you know how many people voted by Sunday. No early votes could have happened after Sunday when those polls closed. You know, you may not know, you may not have finished counting them, but you know how many voted. And then if you just subtract that number from the number that have already been submitted, you would be able to tell us how many early votes are outstanding. They refused to tell us that in Broward County.
Are they still not telling us?
Well, now they said they have completed counting them, but they will not make clear if they've already submitted them, or the state system website does not indicate that they've been submitted yet. So that's number one. But here's number two.
So the next update was going to be that, let's see, Bill Nelson won. Is that what they're planning on doing?
Well, we'll find out. But I can tell you that as you look at the process for this, the early votes are already in by Monday. You're supposed to Sunday night. You're supposed to spend all day Monday and Tuesday actually canvassing them to make sure they're all legal and so forth, and then tabulating. And you download that into your system. And then within 30 minutes, you have to send them to the state. And that's it. Early vote. There's no early votes on Monday. There's no early votes on Tuesday. So it's now Thursday, and we don't know what the final early vote count is.
How is it possible we don't even know how many outstanding votes are left?
They found, as I understand it,
78,000 votes they just found in the course of a week after Election Day. Those are votes that, as you rightly pointed out, I'm following Florida law here. The law is clear, and this was part of the lawsuit of the governor, that they failed to obey the law that requires that a vote by mail and an absentee ballot are counted within 30 minutes of the polls closing. And now they're adding new figures every day. They never did what every other county in Florida did.
Right. And if you look at Miami-Dade County as an example, there were more votes filed in Miami-Dade than in Broward, and they got their work done. Now, look, it's true. These numbers are continuously updated throughout the week until Saturday when the first final report. But that's because provisional ballots have to be worked through, overseas ballots from military and others keep coming in. But the law says you have to update your system every 45 minutes until you're done. They're not updating every 45 minutes. In fact, Palm Beach County hasn't updated in 48 hours. And Broward has been updating sporadically once or twice a day, almost invariably overnight at some point, like at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then again at some point the following day. So the whole process, what are people supposed to believe? I mean, you have opened the door to all the speculation.
Why has nobody gone in and shut them down, considering all the clear violations of law? I mean, look at Brenda Snipes. I mean, her office posted they didn't post the election results. Similarly, I'm hearing that people that are allowed to be observers from each party are being denied access. Is that true?
That's what we've heard, too. I can't confirm that independently. You asked the question, why aren't they being shut down? She is a constitutionally, she's an elected officer of Broward County. She can be suspended for wrongdoing. she can be removed, like the previous election official was 10, 15 years ago for wrongdoing.
Wait a minute, but if the law states that they were supposed to do this 30 minutes after the election, and they're the only two counties that didn't do it just out of the violation of that law, and not updating it every 4 minutes, seems to be an injunction can be placed immediately to shut them down and somebody go in there and secure those ballots, although God only knows what they've done in the last 3.5 days.
Yeah, to be frank, I don't know what the remedy is for not following the law on these counts. I don't know what the legal remedies are for it and what is available. But it's a concern to all of us, because here's the fundamental issue. We've won elections, lost elections. We have close elections. Whatever the outcome is, it is. You know, you deal with it, you move on, you have another election in 2 years. But one of the things that elections departments are supposed to do is not just accurately count votes, that's clear and important, but do so in a way that preserves the public's confidence in our election process. If we lose public confidence in our elections process, then we're in real big trouble, because it is the place where we settle disputes in this country, at the ballot box. And these laws on reporting, these laws on timely reporting, are all designed to strengthen public confidence and to prevent the sort of thing you see in these other countries where 4 days later, you know, we have a winner and everybody's outraged by it. It's things we criticize in other places. And it isn't fair to the people of Broward County, frankly. It isn't fair to the candidates. It isn't fair to the people of Florida. And invariably, it isn't fair to the people of the United States, when you have one of the U.S. Senate seats in play and theoretically in the hands of a department that has destroyed absentee ballots in the past against the law, has destroyed ballots in the past against the law, has opened absentee ballots early against the law, and just the other day counted provisional ballots without canvassing them, meaning without approving them through their canvas board that they were legal votes, which is a huge problem, because once you open that envelope and take out the ballot and separate it from the envelope, there is no way to go back and fix it. There's no way, because it's a secret ballot. You cannot match.
This is the same woman that actually destroyed the 2016 ballots when it related to the recount of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She has a track record and a history that's atrocious. I guess what I'm missing, Senator, is one thing. Knowing that there's all these violations of the law, knowing that, I don't understand how an injunction has not been served if they refuse to follow the law that every other county. Now, I got to be honest. If this was happening maybe in Pensacola, 27 days after a horrible hurricane devastated their community, I think, or the panhandle, I think I'd have a greater understanding. Or they would probably communicate. We're having a little more trouble than we usually do, but they would communicate. The idea that they're supposed to update every 45 minutes refused to do so. The fact that they haven't done reporting. The fact that they won't even tell you how many ballots they have. It all reeks of corruption. And then now I'm looking at Mark Elias. This is the guy that funneled the money to Perkins Coie for the Clinton campaign into Fusion GPS that led to the Russian dossier. And he goes down to Florida and he says, I'm not here for a recount. I'm here to win. And I'm thinking, this is pretty outrageous. And I don't know what happens, you know, if they try to steal this election from Rick Scott. I can't imagine how this, I don't know, you know, what do you do? This is not... This is the stuff that I think I'd read about in a banana republic.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen now, and the law prescribes it, this is a close election. This is what the law, they're going to have a machine recount. They're going to feed the ballots back into the machine, and that may change the numbers by a couple hundred up or down, but not major, never does, maybe even less than that. But then if it's within a quarter of a point, they have to manually go through each ballot across the state that either overvoted, meaning they picked two candidates, or undervoted, which means they picked no candidates. And that's when the lawyers step in and I'll start arguing that this little circle here means they voted for Joe Smith versus, you know, John Rogers and vice versa. That's where the lawyer part kicks in. And the law is pretty clear about that, but that's going to wind up in litigation. It's going to drag on and drag on. And this is exactly why these lawyers come down here, to be a part of that. And so, look, we got a tough couple weeks ahead of us here in regards to this, but it all begins... If these were the results on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, you know, 15,000, we won, we lost, whatever, people would say, all right, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, if there was evidence of wrongdoing, we'd jump all over it, obviously, but it is what it is. It is the process by which this has been carried out, that they're still sitting on early votes, that they were still counting votes way after everybody else's, and that we don't know how many votes you have left.
Senator, with all due respect, I don't trust that they're honest votes.
Yeah, well, we won't know that because they're not allowing anybody to see them. That's why we have a process and a canvassing process where you're supposed to sit there and both sides are there and the public is there and you look at it and say, all right, is this person registered to vote? Did this person sign it? Is this their signature? There's a process for that. All of that has been, you know, not That's the purpose of the governor's lawsuit. That's what he's arguing in this lawsuit, is that none of this stuff has been made publicly available. So there's no way to know. There's no way to know. And so that is at the core of this entire issue.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll stay on this with Senator Marco Rubio on the other side. We'll have a lot more on this tonight at 9 on Hannity on Fox News. So we hope you'll set your DVR. This is really bad what's going on down in Florida. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. All right, as we continue, Senator Marco Rubio is with us. On election night, Broward County said that there were 634,000 votes cast. Then it went to 695,700. And then it went to 707,223. Then it went to 712,840. And then in Palm Beach County, they added an additional 15,000 votes. And I just don't know. Nobody would ever have any faith if they try to take this election from a duly elected senator, United States senator, by breaking the law, being unethical, it's like they're not even breaking. They're shunning every law and every bit of responsibility that every other county has been able to fulfill. Even counties
that is why the law requires them to submit it every 45 minutes. It's why it requires them to have them in. I go back to early voting because it's the most egregious one. There, no early votes have been cast since Sunday. So there is no reason on the planet why those early votes should not have been submitted like everybody else did. Let's say they had been 12 hours late and done it by 7:30 the next morning. It is Friday. It has been, you know, basically almost 4 days since this ended, since anybody cast an early vote. And we still do not know how many of them remain or what, by the way, what percentage of those votes that have been cast that have made up the difference in all of this were early votes. I mean, all of this is in question, and it's what's unnerving everybody. If she said, look, we got 1,000 votes left to file and we're done, we wouldn't have this controversy because 1,000 votes is not enough to make up 15,000. We don't know if it's 30,000.
How does she get away with not answering that question when they should have answered it on Tuesday?
I mean, this most definitely is going to work its way through court. And I think, you know, when Ron DeSantis takes over and others are going to have some tough decisions or some important decisions to make about whether this is someone whose misfeasance and malfeasance in office merits their removal. I believe that it does. I believe that it does. I mean, what she is doing in this office is a disservice to the people of our state and in the case of the U.S. Senate race, to our country. And it is undermining the public credibility of these elections in a dangerous way. And look, the best case scenario is that she's incompetent. But when you are incompetent, then the people around you can do things that are wrong.
Let me ask you one last question, if I can. Legally, who has the jurisdiction to be in control of this? Is it the federal government? Is it the state government? Is it the attorney general? Who is it?
Well, it depends. If it's a violation of state law, it ultimately falls to the state jurisdictions and state courts and the Department of State to supervise how these elections are being conducted. And if it's a violation of federal law, like the Voting Rights Act or some other measure or mechanism, then obviously that would go through the federal court system. And then if you have a systemic violation, such as fraud or civil rights violations or things of this nature, there are both state and federal causes of action for that, and that would include, you know, the FBI and the Justice Department. So it really depends what the alleged wrongdoing is. But in the particular case of whether or not they are conducting elections pursuant to state law, which is what we're talking about, it is the Department of State and ultimately the governor through the state Senate that has the right to remove her.
I want to thank you for what you're doing. Well, I was off tonight, but I'm coming in. This is too important. What they're doing down here is outrageous. The fact that there's not been an injunction leveled and stopping this is unbelievable to me. Multiple state laws, federal campaign violation laws, all of this is now being violated right before our eyes. It's sad, and we better get it right. The people of Florida deserve that. Thank you, Senator Rubio. We appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Watch out for the car. Watch out for the car. Watch out for the car.
Hey, everyone. This is Brian Kilmeade. He says lots of weird, kind of racist-y stuff on the news a lot.
This is the closest personal advisor to Donald Trump, the Fox and Friends host, Brian Kilmeade. If you have anything you want Donald Trump to say or do, tell this guy, because he's the only person in America that Donald Trump listens to.
Go to hell.
Brian, did you get that? Career criminal, traitor, go to hell.
Stop grabbing.
Okay, there we go. That goes for Trump and you.
Think about what you're doing.
Think about what you're doing.
Think about it.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour. Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. There was the mob outside of Tucker Carlson's house 2 days ago. Sadly, his wife was in there hiding in a pantry. They used vandalism on his car in front of his house. They tried to bust the front door open. They damaged that. And we will fight. We know where you sleep at night chanting. They also chanted mail bomb, all of whom should be arrested. Now, the amazing thing about this is we've been discussing and chronicling and watching this, the rise of the mob, if you will, on a frequent basis. And let's see, we see Secretary Nielsen run out of a restaurant. Sarah Sanders with her kids run out of a restaurant. Then they run out of another restaurant. Pam Bondi literally run out of a movie theater. You've got Ted Cruz, his wife Heidi, they're run out of a restaurant. Poor Mitch McConnell, 4 times it's happened to him. It's happened in airports. What, 2 weekends ago it happened in a restaurant. He's sitting there with his wife, Elaine Chao. Some guy comes up. Boom, banging on their table, taking the food on their table, throwing it out the door, screaming at the top of his lungs. And I keep saying something horrible is going to happen here. Now, the amazing thing, it only took the mail bomber to liberals to wake people up. And they say, wow, this has got to be because it's a Trump supporter. Now, all of a sudden, they were paying attention to it. Meanwhile, we have Maxine Waters on tape saying, go, we want you to create a crowd. And follow them, cabinet members, into department stores and gas stations and grocery stores. And you tell them they're not wanted anywhere anymore. Then, of course, Eric Holder kicked them. And Hillary Clinton said, we can't be civil with them. And all the other comments, Cory Booker, get in their face. That's a comment that he got from Obama, who used about me back in the day. Now, the other tape that you heard was another colleague of mine. Co-host of Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. And I think for a good 40 minutes, these two guys were stalking him, following him onto the subway, calling him out, and just making your life miserable. Did they ever put their hands on you at all?
No, I mean, they weren't within my reach, Sean. And there is as I'm listening to all these tapes and the common denominator between them, everybody involved knows you. Maybe you're the problem.
You're going to blame me? Oh, is that it? Well, you know everybody as well, too. But yeah.
They never touched me. They were out of reach. And my main focus, and you were the first to call, by the way, just so your listeners know, with all you have going on, that just is something else just shows who you are, your friend first.
I watched it. But first of all, you handled it with a lot of dignity. And I told you when I called you, I said, you did it the right way. You never took the bait. You didn't get into an argument with them. You just handled it the way. The only mistake I think you made was you decided to go into the subway. When you go into the subway, you're trapped. You know, God forbid that car stopped and you're there for 3 hours with those guys in your face. I don't know if that would have ended well. And then you get out of the subway and then you go buy like a latte or something at a coffee store. What are you doing?
Exactly what I bought a smoothie. Please be factual, Sean.
I'm sorry. God, I don't want to be fake news like CNN.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I just said after a while, there are two cameras. If you grab one guy, the other guy's rolling on it. And I just said after a while, and I got 2 calls during the time. I'm like, I can't miss my daughter's game. She plays at 4:15. I got to get on 3 o'clock train. And I'm not that going to take a call because two lunatics don't like the fact that Donald Trump calls our show and likes our network.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think to me, I think the most important thing is how we handle it. But it's a bigger issue here. This is now the new tactic of the left. And while there were people, in fairness, I don't know if anybody came to your defense on the left and said they shouldn't do this to you. Did anyone speak out on your behalf that you know of?
In terms of the left, there's a lot of people that went on social media and did stuff. I don't think anything really stood out.
Anybody in the media left stick up for you that you know of, besides yours truly
and honest,
fellow Fox people?
Megan came out. Tucker mm-hmm. came out right away. You know, the people I know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody that agreed. In fact, it got so bad for them. Within 2 days, they were forced to pull it down. I don't know that, and it was hard. Last night when I was hosting Tucker, they said, "Brian, do you have any video when you were harassed? Can we show it?" I go, "Yeah." They had a hard time pulling it up because it got taken down everywhere because it got blowback because there's nothing good about it. You know what's something else that was common? Not one person in that video changed anything they're doing. You think Pam Bondi stopped or Mitch McConnell stopped? Or Tucker Carlson's going to stop having the open he has, or the show that he does. You think I'm doing it? I'm still taking the train and subway. Yeah, so nothing's altering in my life.
The problem is, at some point, this is going to blow. And now we've got a situation, I don't know if you've been paying attention. This is a break-the-glass moment that we all knew was coming. And now you have NBC's Rachel Maddow organizing these protesters because they didn't like that Jeff Sessions resigned. And the problem
is... that wasn't organic, Sean. Jeff Sessions doesn't have 8,000 fans in New York City.
Well,
organic.
No, they were tweeting it out. The resistance was tweeting it out. Now, the only time before the election, they didn't care about Secretary Nielsen, Sarah Sanders, Pam Bondi, nobody. You couldn't even call it a mob on fake news CNN. And then we had the mail bombing issue, and I immediately spoke out about it. I know you spoke out about it immediately.
Yep.
If you want to be a conservative, if you're a fan of this program, leave everybody alone. We have a constitutional republic. You win some elections, you lose some. I know they're bitter at Tuesday's results. That's not our fault. Then they hate Donald Trump and all things Trump and anybody that even likes Donald Trump. And anybody that's even a conservative. But the point here is then they decided to get in. Then they tried to link the synagogue shooting to Donald Trump when the shooter actually hated Trump because Trump was so pro-Israel. So, you know, they're very selective in their outrage, although a few did mention about Tucker Carlson. Look, a CNN guy was getting harassed. It was on Mediaite yesterday, and I gave him a call. I said, "I hope you're right. I've been through this myself. It's not fun. It's difficult. It can be hard on your family. Hang in there. Make sure you always report it to the police."
Well, I got a couple of things. The synagogue thing for Donald Trump, and it's so unjust. That stuff. For some reason, people think that Donald Trump was tangentially responsible for it, which is insane. Number two is I fear for what's going to happen next in Florida because this is so contentious. You saw Rick Scott. I'd never seen him as angry as he was on your show last night and in that press conference prior. And I think he knows he's being screwed. He went from 30,000 up to 15,000 up, and Broward County is up to no good. People aren't going to be calm about this. They don't want to admit they lost. Stacey Abrams doesn't want to admit she lost in Georgia. And you see what Bernie Sanders is saying, that white people have trouble voting for black people. I mean, what the hell is going on?
You're talking about since election day. Now, they're supposed to, by law in Florida, report within 30 minutes after the polls close. I mean, that's a Florida law requires that you report early voting votes by mail within 30 minutes. Now, since Tuesday, they have found 78,000 votes in Broward County and 15,000 votes in Palm Beach. Every other county in Florida got it right. Every other county in Florida obeyed the law. The woman involved in this has a history of playing these games and shunning the law, the state law, or national voting laws. And why the police have not gone in there and shut that operation down immediately, because whatever's going on, they're not letting the people that are legally allowed on each political side of the aisle. They're only letting Mark Elias, apparently, in there, who's Hillary Clinton's attorney. That's the guy that funneled the money to Perkins Coie.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the way everything comes full circle. It's like a Seinfeld episode, only there's no comedy and no laugh track. There's only consequences. I hate to tell you, you're saying that things should crack down. You're talking about the governor of the state. If this guy can't get justice for his own election in his own state, what prayer do we have? When you saw Marco Rubio so teed off, you know there's something underhanded going on. And I'm going to be doing Tucker again tonight, and that's probably going to be the lead story again tonight about what's going on in Florida. And
listen, I was going to be off tonight, but this is too important. This election could be gone by the weekend, so I'll be in tonight, too, right after you do Tucker, so I'll see you then. Last question. When you saw Jim Acosta at the press conference, the White House took back his credentials. I think the right decision. He wasn't asking a question. He wanted a debate. He wanted a fight. He wanted his moment. And if you or I were ever that rude to Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, we'd be excoriated.
By our own people, by my own company. Fox News, if I was ever in there, or Ed Henry was in there during Barack Obama's time, most of the time, if he treated President Obama like that, he would have got ripped by his own company. So that's the difference. And also, the word is, other reporters are madder at Jim Acosta than the president because he asked 4 or 5 questions. Don't they have a beat? Don't they have to cut a story? Don't their questions matter? You're supposed to care about your colleagues. Instead, you see a bunch of grandstanding. I couldn't believe what he tried to pull off. However, I don't know about the tactic of pulling his credentials. That story was buried after Jeff Sessions got fired. It now lives another day and another day, and he gets to do more shows and Colbert and John Oliver, and he looks like a martyr. I don't know if any message is sent. When he goes back, he's going to be just as flamboyant and just as self-important. So, you know, I don't know about the strategy right off. And, you know, I know President Trump thrives on this stuff. He doesn't care about it. And I think, you know, with the way he was talked to, I wouldn't talk to an adult like that, let alone the President of the United States like that. So,
all right. Well, listen, Brian Kilmeade, Brian Kilmeade hosts everything. Brian Kilmeade does Brian Kilmeade Fox and Friends with Ducey and Ainsley. And then you go to do radio for 3 hours. And then you usually do Outnumbered. And then you usually do The Five. And then you usually do Tucker. And then you complain you're tired when you have to get up 6 hours later. I think you're whining. I think you whine a little too much. But his book is out in paperback, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. Congrats on the book. I know it did really well. And we appreciate you taking the time. Brian Kilmeade.
Sean Hannity, it's now number 3 on the bestseller list. So I'm
unbelievable.
Gonna be able to
All right, Brian, appreciate it. Brian Kilmeade, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, we got a minute here. We're going to take a call. We'll go to Florida where all these shenanigans are going on. Dana in Florida. Dana, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Thank you, Sean Hannity. Thank you so much for letting us have a voice out there.
Well, thank
and
you.
Also,
we can't do it without
lady
you.
That takes... And the lady that takes care of the phone call, she is, oh, please give her a hug. She's so sweet. But anyway, my comment is the main one is on Jim Acosta. He needs, I'm glad they did take his credentials away, but they need to do it permanent. This man has issues. And I'm not saying it to be mean to, if I seen it on your show, I would call it out. But he has issues. And he's after the president, and it's not safe for him to be one-on-one like that with the president. I'm really surprised that they didn't have security in there to right away.
There's security all over the room. I mean, the worst part is how many times does the president have to tell somebody to please sit down? Please sit down. Please, can you stop? We're done. We're not doing it. And the fact that there's a level of arrogance and just, you know, this narcissistic, we're right, you're wrong. Not only are you wrong, you see, their hatred of him is actually a hatred of we, the people, and our choices. The reason the media hasn't talked about the election this week, after the election, is because they didn't get what they wanted. Okay, yeah, Democrats won the House by like the slimmest margin. They will have the slimmest majority since 1945. The president, who did campaign for all these Senate candidates in all of these states, he got spectacular wins and they know it. So they're mad at him, but really they're mad at us for not agreeing with them. And there's a contempt towards us that we don't see him the way they do. And they have a superiority. And they don't seem to care that what they support in terms of legislation is a proven failure. So they're not really caring about we the people either. And that should be more troublesome than anything. But I got to run, Dana. Thank you. All right, we'll come back. Wide open phones, final half hour of the program. I was also going to check in with my buddy from Black Rifle Coffee, Veterans Day coming up, and much, much more. Straight ahead, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. Hannity tonight at 9, full coverage of the absolute law-breaking going on down in Florida. Straight ahead. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. All right, we're going to meet some great vets and that are doing amazing things since they have gotten back from serving their country in so many different ways and are helping vets. But it's been a long week, and it's going to be a rough night, too. We're doing Hannity tonight at 9, a lot on this, you know, all the shenanigans. They're not obeying the law in Florida. The two most liberal Democratic counties refuse to abide by the laws that every other county abides by. We'll go through this in all detail tonight at 9, and we better be careful because they're up to no good. That we know. All right, but first, well, it didn't turn out to be the blue wave the left wanted, the media wanted. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're lashing out as they always do. It's only going to get worse. And another victory for Trump and for the American people. The blue wave became a little trickle, a little tiny itsy bitsy trickle. And I'm happy about it. All right, by the way, Vets Day is Sunday. It's the 11th, and we celebrate it. A lot of you will be off on Monday. You have a long weekend. I don't think I will be off. I'm working tonight on Hannity. I will be there at 9 p.m., obviously, with all of these shenanigans, laws being broken all over the place in Broward and Palm Beach and in Florida. And how do you go from 60,000 votes to 15,000? Is there not one Republican vote that they're finding? They only find Democratic votes. First, I want to introduce you. They're not only an advertiser on this program. I'm friends with these guys. Evan Haper's with us. He's the CEO of BlackRifleCoffee.com/Hannity. Not only is it the best coffee company, as I tell you in these ads, it really is. You have every single level of strength and flavor that you would ever want. The story behind how they built this company is amazing. They hire vets. They hire first responders. They donate to vets. They donate to first responders. And on this Veterans Day weekend, I wanted to just say, A, thank you. Evan, welcome back to the program. And B, you know what? Why support these liberal companies that don't share our values? It's nuts. Your company's growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you, Sean, for having us back. I can't thank you enough. And it's wonderful to hear your voice and be on the show again. So Black Rifle Coffee, we're growing leaps and bounds. We opened up a new roasting facility just outside of Nashville in Coffee County. One of the big reasons was because it's Coffee County and because we had a high number of veteran and civil service members out there that we could employ. We've got a new facility in San Antonio, Texas. So we expanded to Military Town, USA. And we still got a roaster out in Utah. So we're Utah, Tennessee, and San Antonio. And soon we're going to have Black Rifle Coffees for people to walk in and drink a cup of coffee in both Tennessee and Texas. So we're expanding and moving fast.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, is this something that's going to maybe build into Black Rifle Coffee everywhere we used to see a Starbucks? I would love that.
Oh, I tell you what, that's the plan, Sean. That's exactly what we want to do. What I tell people is we want to give them the opportunity to vote with their dollar and vote for the companies that support what they believe in. And it's in our mission statement. You know, we love to serve coffee and content to people that love America. We're unashamed in our service and our pride in country. And I think that there are a lot of businesses out there that really they get out there and they don't like America at the end of the day. You know, and that's the difference between Black Rifle Coffee and them is we're miles apart typically. On the political spectrum, and two, we really do put our money where our mouth is. What I say is it's not PR, it's who we are. So we get out, we've got above a 50% higher rate for veterans. We just launched a new initiative with the Pentagon Federal Credit Union to help fund veteran entrepreneurs. So the Veteran Entrepreneur Investment Program, where we earmarked $200,000 to be divvied out for veterans and about $20,000 to $50,000 investment opportunities for them. So we're trying to put our money where our mouth is every day, protect the community, create opportunities for those that have served, and promote America.
The thing is, I love how this company was started too, because you had guys overseas and they couldn't get a good cup of coffee. And didn't you all start ordering different blends, coffee beans? I sound like Linda for a second. Coffee, coffee beans, and then you came up with your own blend. You did it yourselves. I mean, that's the amazing, and you did it out of a need and a desire for the best cup of coffee, which I love every day, and I can't live without.
You're exactly right. We I started roasting coffee because I couldn't get a great cup of coffee, and I was deploying back and forth to Iraq at the time, and I was roasting coffee at home to take big duffel bags of coffee overseas with me to not only drink, but then give to the guys that I was working with. And it caught on to the point where I was giving away a lot of coffee to my friends and family. And a lot of people asked me, well, where did you come up with the name Black Rifle Coffee? And I had a little 1 pound roaster on the back tailgate of my pickup while I was working for the CIA at the time. And I had my service rifle next to it, which was a black rifle and a little 1 pound roaster. And I was roasting coffee for everybody in the course that I was teaching. One of the guys came up and was like, man, you should have a coffee company. And I said, yeah, I could call it, you know, Black Rifle Coffee Company, but it's quite literally in respect to our service rifle. It's a piece of life-saving equipment. It protected me and the other founders of the company for over a decade while we served, and we should be proud of that.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that you hire vets, first responders, you created the best product on the market, that always helps. That you give back so much to vets and first responders and those causes is amazing. Thanks for being a part of the show. Look, it's blackriflecoffee.com/Hannity. You get a first 15% discount. You guys do have the coolest videos of anybody on the web, but I've got to warn you, they're rated R. Maybe
some of them, yeah.
Some of them? Show me one that's not. All right, my friend, say hi to everybody for me. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Paul Lavelle is with us, too. He's the Chief Master Sergeant, is the Founder Executive Director of Operation Restored Warrior, and he's here to talk about a need for awareness of our vets that are coming home. There are over 250,000 facing PTSD, and the suicide rate among vets coming back has been astronomical, off the hook. I can't tell you how many times that I would hear from anybody or somebody, even an acquaintance of somebody, and they say that somebody's struggling, they're about to kill themselves. And I usually call my friend Oliver North, and Ollie gets on the phone. We'll spend hours and hours with people. We work to find a program that works for them. And Master Sergeant, Chief Master Sergeant Paul Lavelle, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me exactly what you guys are doing and how you're helping these guys out. I mean, the bottom line, the answer is we've over-deployed them. It's just a fact.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, our organization, Operation Restored Warrior, we've been around now for 10 years. And we've helped hundreds and hundreds of veterans coming back from combat to address the issues of combat stress, post-traumatic stress. And we do it in 5 days. We deal with some of the most stressed out guys that have suicide ideation. And we address this in a 5-day program that I developed. And we've got literally every single warrior who comes through our program, doesn't matter whether you're an E1 or you're a 3-star general, which we've had all of those guys come through. They get restoration in the 5-day program.
That's a pretty amazing thing. Now, do you have enough space? Do you have enough people involved in this to for the demand that is out there, which is greater than we ever thought it could be? Because I know the VA is changing, and I know there have been changes, and I know there are a lot of private organizations, you know, Rivers for Recovery, Building Homes for Heroes, the Freedom Alliance. There's a ton of great groups out there, but is everybody getting the help they need?
No, they're not. I mean, the number is overwhelming. We have been doing this for 10 years, and we don't even have our own home. We, through the blessing of dear friends and allies, we use various properties around the country, and we've got a waiting list of guys getting in. In fact, what we did, Sean, is we took the 5-day program and literally had been praying about this. Like, how do we scale what we're doing so that we can bring this 22 plus a day of suicides down to zero? And I think we found the answer. And earlier this year, I started working with my team on taking our 5-day and condensing it to a 2-day and engaging our alumni. And we have over 1,000 alumni now around the country from all the various services that have been deployed in multiple operations, and to scale this out there so that we can start to address in their communities, because we have these groups all over the United States now. to be able to address this problem of 22 plus a day. And I mean,
that's
this
crazy.
Is this is not going away. It just keeps ramping because of the over deployment.
Do we have enough? Is the information to get the help out there to all these guys? I mean, really, the armed services needs to be sending every single guy that served, especially these multiple deployments. They've got to be communicating with them and tell them, hey, if you ever need help, this is what you do. If you ever need help, they've got to know that the help is out there, because if they reach out, they're going to get the help. I've met people that have gone through programs and they come back on the other side, different people. And they're able to, you know, it's hard to ask people to go to war, go in a war zone, and it triggers, you know, a defense mechanism and an adrenaline rush and an energy that you're not going to experience back in real life. You come home and it's like that just doesn't shut off automatically. You know, you don't have an on-off switch. Some people maybe have better coping mechanisms than others. This isn't about weakness. It's about they're warriors, and now you're asking them to, you know, to just shut that side of them off. It's a hard thing to do.
It absolutely is. And we've had some of the most remarkable warriors that this nation has ever produced come through our program, Sean. And a lot of the guys, they don't want to ask for help, you know, because so much of what they've been asked to do, they are the help, right? They don't go in, you know, they're the guys that have to do these operations. So they don't ask for help. And, you know, we still have a stigma out there that they think that that's a weakness. And the focus of our program, and one of the reasons it's so successful is that there's a component not only in the emotional physiologic side, but there's a spiritual component. We're both spiritual and physical. And if you don't address one without the other, then you're going to have an incomplete healing. And so we address the spiritual component because, you know, just look historically, look biblically, right? The progenitor of all warfare is spiritual, and it gets manifested into the kinetic. If you don't address the spiritual issues that's assaulting our men and women, then you're not going to get a complete healing. You're just going to get anesthetizing. You're going to get partial healing, but it's not going to be complete. And we have found that by addressing those issues, these folks are getting restored.
OperationRestoredWarrior.org is your website, OperationRestoredWarrior.org. Paul, thank you for being with us. I hope people can help your organization out. We'll put it up on Hannity.com. All right, that wraps things up for here today, but we will be back on Hannity tonight. I was going to be off tonight, but I am coming in. This is too important with this new court ruling, the 7 o'clock compliance. We'll have all the latest details. We have Governor, Senator-elect Rick Scott. We have Lindsey Graham. J. Christian Adams knows more about this woman, this individual, than anybody. He will join us. Also, Ronna McDaniel will talk about what's going on in Arizona. Jason Chaffetz. Overall, a great week. You know how you know? The media, Democrats, are furious. We'll see you Monday. See you tonight at 9.